لهذا أنا أدعو لهم، أدعو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقهم في أعمالهم وأن يصلح شأنهم ويصلح أمريكا ويصلح العالم كلهم.
He said the thing I would hope for is that I pray that God really gives all of you success and also rectifies the problems that we have, rectifies America, but also rectifies the global problems that we're facing.
أعتقد أن الدعاء لأمريكا ليس مسألة فقط نقولها، لأن مهم جدا. أمريكا الآن هي ربان السفينة، مهم أن يكون ربان السفينة في وضع طيب.
He said, I don't think this is an insignificant thing, the idea of praying for America, because America right now, they are the pilots and the sailors that are manning the ship of humanity.
لكن إذا كان ربان السفينة مجنونا،
He said, if we have mad sailors,
أو ينام نائم أو
or they fall asleep,
فيمكن للسفينة أن تغرق.
He said the safina can lose its way and the ship can lose its way and drown.
هذا ما لا نتمنى.
He said this is my hope.
لا نتمنى.
Oh, yeah, ما نتمنى. This is what I don't hope for. You know, I'll tell you something. If you heard the translations at the Brookings Institute, trust me, I'm doing a great job.
هذه ليلة جميلة سنتذكرها إن شاء الله.
He said it's a beautiful evening, and I'm going to have a recollection.
نرجع بهذه الذكريات للسعودية.
He said I'll make mention of it in my recollections in Saudi Arabia.
ندعوكم جميعا من جاء منكم هناك يزورنا في بيته.
And he said, I hope any of you who come to Arabia there in Jeddah that you visit him in his house, which is on the way to Mecca.
عنواننا موجود.
He said, my address is known.
أدعوكم في موريتانيا لكن قليل منكم من سيأتي هناك.
He said, I would invite you to Mauritania and West Africa, but I know very few would actually answer the invitation.
لأن الناس لا تحب الصحراء كثيرا.
He said people don't like the deep desert very much.
على كل حال البحر هناك جميل.
He said but we do have a beautiful ocean.
والناس هناك بسطاء.
And we're simple people.
لكنهم فقراء.
And we're poor people.
عندهم ثروة كبيرة.
But we have great wealth.
عندهم علم.
We have knowledge.
وعندهم بترول وعندهم ذهب.
He said now they're finding oil and gold as well.
لكنهم مع الأسف لم يستثمروا كثيرا.
He said but we haven't been able yet to really utilize and bring to fruition those.
فندعو رجال الأعمال.
So I'm inviting all the business people
ومن
here.
يريدون وطلبة العلم.
And also the seekers of knowledge.
ومن يريد التصوف.
And even the seekers of Sufism.
أن يذهب إلى هنا.
Come to Mauritania.
تحياتي لكم وشكرا والسلام عليكم.
My greetings to all of you.
Be perfect.
All right.
There's a big secret in that talk, because I've known the Sheikh 20 years. That's the most humorous talk he's ever given.
I don't want to translate
that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I want to thank both Ray and his wife for bringing all of us together. One of the extraordinary things about our country is it's a country of diversity. It always has been. America has never been a homogeneous country. Anybody that claims that is a liar and knows nothing about the history of this country. It's a country that's forged in diversity. Our extraordinary banner and really almost mission statement is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. And this is what this country is about. We're in really almost for Americans sacred ground, because this is Mount Vernon. This is a place that represents sacrifice. A man like George Washington was a man who had everything. And he risked everything for something better. Not for himself, because he was a well-to-do businessman. He had everything that he needed. He had a beautiful and devoted wife. He was from one of the most distinguished families in Virginia. He was a millionaire by the late teens in his life. He was a distinguished military officer. And he was, despite the fact he was seen as one of the less bright people amongst that generation of geniuses, he translated Tacitus from the Latin into English at the age of 15. So he was no slacker in studies either. The men that founded this country and the women, because Martha was part of the operation, as well as Abigail Adams and many of the other great women, and our flag was sewn by Betsy Ross, as everybody knows. But these people had a vision of a different world. It was a world that was a departure of the ways of Europe. Hierarchical worlds that didn't allow for meritocracy. It didn't allow for natural genius to flourish amongst people. That's the type of world that they wanted to see transformed into a new world. A world where people could live based on merit. To put it in the words of Martin Luther King, that people would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin or any other arbitrary quality, such as your birthplace or the family that you came from. And that's what made this country great. It has embraced immigrants from all over the world. In my own blood flows Irish immigrants. Daniel Copeland, who came to this country in 1764, fought in the Continental Army for 2 years, was awarded land in Georgia, as many of the veterans of the war. That's one of my grandfathers. He married into the fields. My mother, her mother was from Georgia, from Macon, Georgia. My father's side, I have Irish Catholic blood. Hansen is Ohansach. When they came here, Irish Catholics often changed their Irish names to have more Anglo-Saxon sounding names. They were in the Philadelphia community. They were welcomed into Philadelphia. Bridget and Michael Ohansen, my great-great-grandparents, were welcomed in 1838. They came to Philadelphia. In 1842, they had the Kensington riots, where they burnt down four beautiful Catholic churches because of rumors that the Catholics wanted to change the Protestant Bible from the public schools. This is American history. Scores of Irish Catholics were killed by Protestants in Philadelphia. That led to a major transformation in the United States because people were so ashamed of what had happened. And that was a beginning of a transformation. The Irish Catholics succeeded in becoming fully enfranchised Americans, and that full enfranchisement was realized with the election of John Kennedy into public office at the highest office in this country. This is America. The African Americans have been here for 500 years, many of them brought in chains. They've struggled, they've survived, many of them are still struggling and just barely surviving. But they're part of the American tapestry. They're now in the highest offices in this country. Arab Americans have been here from the beginning. We forget that we had a massive Arab immigration 100 years ago. Henry Ford in the 1920s was looking for people that didn't drink because he had such an alcoholic problem with the factory workers in Detroit. And so he decided to import Yemenis who didn't drink. And so he brought hundreds of Yemenis, led to thousands of Yemenis immigrating to this country. They've been here for 100 years now. One of the most important Arab communities is in Michigan. This is America. This is the America that I'm part of. Our country right now is being faced with a grave crisis. It's a crisis of the values that this country was established on and the values that we have renegotiated for 200 and some odd years. We have renegotiated these values. All men are created equal was an ideal when that was first articulated in our foundational document. That we are much closer to that ideal than we were when it was first articulated in this country by men, some of whom owned slaves.
But there were not all of them. Dr. Benjamin Rush, the great signer of the Declaration of Independence, was one of the most fervent opponents of slavery in this country at the founding of the country, and he wanted to see it abolished in the original documents. That did not occur. It's the Great Compromise. It led to the Civil War that now we're looking at its 150th anniversary. This is America. But we, as a people of diverse and varied backgrounds, represent a hope for this planet, the possibility of people of different creeds, of different colors, of different persuasions, to actually live together in conviviality, in respect, and if not respect, at least tolerance, because tolerance is an underrated virtue. This is what we're looking for. I want to see the leadership in this country, not just the political leadership, the economic leadership, the social leadership, the movers, the shakers, the mavericks, the influencers, the mavens. I want to see these people really rise to the occasion that this present circumstance is demanding, that we recognize that it is unacceptable what's happening in this country. I listened to a man yesterday at the Brookings Institute, I listened to a man today from an Arab background say how Islamophobia was a meaningless idea. There was no problem. This is America. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I find that utterly unacceptable. We have Arab and South Asian bashing that's going on day in and day out on talk radio and other places, and it's time for good Americans that believe in the ideals of this country. For too long, we have sublimated our ideals to our interests. Socrates in the Apology, which is worth reading every once in a while, Socrates in the Apology said one of the most extraordinary political statements that I've ever heard. He said, "The state worries far too much about its interests. If the state concerned itself more with its virtue, its interest would take care of itself." George Washington in his farewell address, and I once read a book of all the farewell addresses of the presidents, is one of the most interesting reads I ever had because they always tell the truth on the way out. George Washington said he wanted to see America a land of commerce and benevolence. He wanted to see America trade with the world, not in the articles of war. And he was very worried about a war economy emerging in this country. He did not want to see a standing army. We now have a massive war economy. It's creating great problems, economic problems in this country. We're talking about a $14 trillion deficit, $54 trillion in liabilities, double the amount of dollars in circulation. And yet, the sacred cow of our budget is our military expenditure, which is 9 times greater than all the military budgets on this planet. I think we've got a lot to think about as a people. If we want to be the beacon and the guiding light, the sailors that are taking care of the ship of humanity, I think we really need to reassess that. And one place that I absolutely found it necessary to do is in how we treat our Muslim Americans, because this is an important community. If the doctors from the Muslim community got up and left America today, we would have a healthcare crisis in this country of unprecedented proportions, and that is not hyperbole. Americans put their hands in Muslim doctors every single day. We had David Letterman said on national television, "I went to my doctor today and he said face Mecca and cough." And everybody in the audience laughed because people have Muslim doctors. We've got engineers, we have entrepreneurs, we have business people, we have an extraordinary and talented community. We also have an African-American community that is Muslim and has been here for a very long time, and increasingly a Hispanic and a Caucasian-American community, Euro-American. We're diverse, we have a lot of problems, but we are part of America, and we need to hear the rest of America acknowledge that and embrace this community. And the panderers of fear, they'll always be there, but their voices will only be drowned out when the voices of sanity, the voices of reason, the voices of good are amplified in order to drown those voices of stupidity out. The Malays can't pronounce the H in Arabic. So they say for the stupid in Malay is, in Arabic it's ahmak. The Malays said amak. So running amak is acting foolishly and stupidly. We have a lot of people that have lost their heads of late in this country. And it's the people that still have their heads on that really need to come together in solidarity and help these other people. Help them. They're afraid. There's a lot of fear in this country. They're afraid. But we're a great country. We've been through a lot of difficulties. We're in a current crisis. There's a lot of difficulties. But the truth is, I believe in this country. That's why I'm still here. This is my country. It's been the country of my father, who was a World War II veteran, who signed up to defend this country at the age of 17 with his mother's permission and left high school. He was given an early graduation. This is my country. I believe in this country. I believe in the goodness and the fortitude of this country and its people. But I really want to see more of what needs to be done from all of us. Thank you.